There's a strong chance that I could get arrested for what I'm disclosing here, but the public deserves to know what has been discovered. I should warn you that what I'm about to tell you may completely change how you feel about life, so if you wish to maintain your sanity, then I suggest that you stop reading this now. To limit the possibility of me getting caught, I'm not going to disclose my name or anyone else involved in the events that have transpired. I work for NASA, and about 6 years ago, we sent 4 probes into space on a course for Jupiter's moon, Europa. For those of you who don't know, Europa's surface is covered in a thick ice layer. It's been believed for many years now that beneath the ice is an ocean. And if there's an ocean, then that creates the possibility of life. The reason you never heard about this project is because we believe that the intense publicity we would receive from the press may compromise the mission. Regulating these things takes a lot more work than you might think, so we did it in secret to save us the time of constant press interviews. The probes were taken by spacecraft, and once there would be scattered across 4 corners of the moon by AI-controlled miniature crafts. They would then drill a hole into the ice, and the probes would be deployed into whatever was beneath it. The probes themselves were very impressive pieces of technology. I won't go into detail about how they were made, but they have a highly sophisticated AI control that would allow them to navigate themselves around Europa's ocean. They were also equipped with high-quality recording devices with night vision capability of showing colors, microphones so that we could see and hear what they did, mechanical arms to analyze any samples found, and were also designed to withstand over 9,000 pounds of ocean pressure. After those 6 years, the probes finally arrived. We were notified about this 35 minutes later, as they were programmed to send a signal to us once they had reached the destination, and it takes a while for it to reach Earth from that distance. So everything we saw on their cameras happened about a half hour beforehand. We observed each probe's journey on a split screen, kind of like a 4-player video game. Each probe waited for each other to land on Europa before the craft started drilling, so they could all start exploring what lay beneath. It took about an hour, but before long, the probes were underneath the surface. Our suspicions were indeed correct. There was, in fact, an ocean underneath the ice, and it seemed as though it covered the planet, as all the probes were submerged in water. The ocean was expectedly dark, and even with the night vision, the probes had to activate their inbuilt torches so they could get a better look at the place. Each probe started to submerge further, but it wasn't long before one discovered what we were looking for. Probe 1 was approached by a never-before-seen alien life form. The room back on Earth where it was being observed was silenced in shock, before everyone yelled a victorious cheer at the discovery that alien life did indeed exist on Europa. Needless to say, we were thrilled. The creature itself was about 6 feet long and resembled a giant silver tadpole. It had a single white glowing eye on the front of its head with several thin tendrils around what we assumed to be its mouth. Just behind its head were 4 tentacles on each side, each slightly shorter than its tail. It was stationary, just staring at Probe 1, its tentacles gently flowing with the water movements. Before we knew it, more of these creatures had approached Probes 2 and 3, and all of them stared at it with little movement. Logic dictated that they were merely investigating the probes, as they clearly had never seen anything like them before. Still, the fact that they were halted while staring in the face of these unknown creatures was a little odd. Suddenly, several others of these creatures could be seen in the background of each screen. We could see their glowing eyes moving as they swarm upwards. The probes took note of this and looked upwards as to what they were all swimming towards. They were gathering around the holes made in the ice. What was even more peculiar was they seemed to start swimming around its shape. At first, we thought that maybe this was a primal instinct, like when you put food in a fish tank and they all swim up to get at it. But then we noticed that some kind of substance was appearing around them. There was what appeared to be a white cloud forming between them as they continued to circle and dart around the point of entry. Then they all scattered. Once the cloud dispersed, we could finally see what they were doing. The point of entry had frozen over. Of course, it was a lot thinner than what it had been, but still, it was frozen. They had actually released some kind of chemical, which I assume may have been liquid nitrogen, and tried to fix the hole. Now, this raised a myriad of questions. Why would they do this? What evolutionary reason would they have to behave in such a way? Had this happened before in order for them to evolve in this way? What was also of interest was the fact that as the probes moved, the creatures that had approached them seemed to tail behind, almost as if they were keeping an eye on them. The probes all submerged further, and it wasn't long before they reached the bottom. It was surprisingly shallow on each side of the planet. The bottom of this ocean was covered in what seemed to be a swamp-green, furry seaweed that swayed in the water on top of a dark surface. What was particularly interesting was that, despite the difference in terrain on each side, the weed was the exact same. There was no variation in color or different plant species. It was all identical. Speaking of the terrain, the environment the Probe 1, the north side of Europa, had found was nothing special. The same terrain seemed to continue for several miles and resembled what you usually find in the shallow waters of Earth. Probe 2, which was positioned on Europa's south, found that its terrain was more curved. The curve would be very difficult to notice at first. Again, it spread on for miles, but it was certainly there. What's more was that in the distance, one could make out more structures, too, to be precise. They could be seen in the form of shadows, extended into the sky, or each curved in a different position. The terrain on Probe 3's side was similar to Probe 1's. However, this side had structures of its own. From a distance, it could be seen in a row that there were what appeared to be large mountains in the shape of dark dorsal fins. They were also relatively the same size and shape, which was quite impressive for a structure that formed naturally. Probe 4, which was on the opposite side of Probe 3, seemed to have landed on a small mountain. We could tell this because it landed just to the edge of it, and it could be made out that beneath was more land. What was significantly different from the other sides, however, was the fact that this side had a large section that didn't have any seaweed. There was still some there, but when the probe moved along, it came to an edge of the seaweed, where 4 miles stretched out. There was a piece of land that was made of what looked like a rough metal. It was very difficult to tell what kind, or if it even was metal, but that was the best we could describe it. As the probes continued to explore their respective areas, there was something that became quite apparent. The only creatures that seemed to live down here were the silver tadpoles. Aside from the individuals following the probe, these things were everywhere on every corner of the planet, just swimming around all over the place. It was very odd how there wasn't a more diverse ecosystem, that these guys didn't have any kind of predator or prey. The first animal life of this world, perhaps. The very first animal life of this world, perhaps. But if that was the case, how did they evolve into such complex beings without any kind of diversity? What was also noteworthy was the fact that very few of them actually got close to the ocean floor. In fact, most of them seemed to be avoiding it at all costs, as if it was something to be afraid of. I started to get a very bad feeling, like we were interfering with something that should have just been left alone. Unfortunately, there was nothing that we could do. Like I said, the probes had long since done everything shown on screen, so even if we sent a signal for them to stop, it probably wouldn't have reached them until it was too late. Probe 3's AI decided that it should take a sample of the seaweed for analysis. They wouldn't be coming back to Earth, but if it could get a high-quality picture of it, we could potentially be able to analyze its possible biology. It reached out its mechanical arm towards the weed on the ground, grabbing a handful with its pincers and started to pull. To our surprise, it didn't come out of the ground. And considering the probe's strength, the weed's supposed similarity to Earth seaweed plants, it should have come out just as easily. The probe continued to pull and tug at it, but it just didn't come out. Suddenly, the silver tadpole that had been following Probe 3 rushed in front of it, its tentacles rapidly shaking and trying to push it back. If I didn't know better, I would have said that it was trying to tell the probe to stop. Unfortunately, this didn't register with Probe 3's AI, and it continued to tug. The tadpole was getting desperate, rapidly waving its tentacles back and forth as it pushed harder to get it to stop, and when that didn't work, it wrapped itself around the probe's arm. The 4 other tentacles stretched out and grabbed onto several other sections of its arm and seemed to be trying to pull at it. It was trying to break it off. The probe continued to pull at the weed, but to no avail. All of a sudden, even more tadpoles rained down from above and engulfed Probe 3 with their embrace, all pulling at different components in order to disassemble it. They were succeeding. We could just about see the sparks and electricity that were starting to fly about, and the camera was beginning to break up. Probe 3 did not let go of the weed and continued to pull. Several people in the room irrationally yelled, "Stop!" But, of course, this wasn't going to work. With one final yank, just before the probe went offline, the weed was ripped up from the ground. And with that, connection was lost. Silence dominated the room for a couple of minutes. And then we heard it. Rattling through the speakers came a low, bellowing sound. The best I could compare it to was a whale's call, but even by those standards, it was incredibly ominous. What frightened me the most was the fact that it didn't come from just one of the probe's microphones, but all three of them. All the silver tadpoles that we could see on screen stopped in their tracks and looked down towards the ocean floor. They didn't move a muscle, they just stopped and stared. The bellowing came again, the screens vibrated as it rang. Then we noticed something on probe one's screen. Something was glowing. The probe looked downward to see that what was once covered in seaweed was now a smooth, glowing orange surface. It wasn't the same shade. It seemed to get brighter as the surface went inwards. And this stretched for miles on end. Magma, perhaps. No, it couldn't be. It wasn't moving, and there was no way magma could surface this fast without us noticing. But then the colors started to move south, and before long the surface was a pitch black. Everyone in the room was dumbfounded. What the hell were we looking at? But then it did something that made my blood run cold. Slowly, a mass of seaweed moved across it, covering up the black surface, and in the same amount of time, it uncovered it again. It had blinked. That's when we realized that this whole time we hadn't been exploring the ocean floor. This was a single, gargantuan creature. An ear-splitting screech emanated from the speakers. The structure in the background of Probe 1's camera came to life, violently waving and crashing against the planet's ice surface. The surface that the probe had been exploring rapidly lifted and crashed into it. Probe 2 was offline. Probe 4 witnessed a long, colossal mass move up into the sky, then stretch outwards. Due to its gigantic size, we didn't see how far or where it went, but after we heard an enormous crashing sound, we knew that most certainly it hit the other side of the planet. It was at this moment that we realized that Probe 4 was sitting on a giant limb. The surface beneath moved upwards. The other limb pushed the probe with it, but the speed of the movement through the water tore it apart before it could even reach the other side of the moon. Probe 4 was offline. The last probe standing was Probe 1. But the uprush caused by the gargantuan movements had caused the probe to crash against the surface. It was barely online, but we could still just about see what was going on. The mass below was, from what we could see, constantly thrashing from side to side whilst roaring like an angry caged animal. We could now see that it had two eyes. But even though the probe was further away, each eye still made up the entirety of the probe's vision. When it came into view, the silver tadpoles all rapidly swarmed towards the gargantuan at once. But before we could see what they were going to do, it rushed forward and crushed the probe against the surface. Probe 1 was offline. Silence. Nobody said a word. I don't think anybody even breathed for at least 5 minutes. I was overwhelmed by a mixture of emotions. Fear, confusion, dread, despair. After a long time, the administrator finally spoke, and it was a miracle that anybody could after what we had just witnessed. He told us it was vital that we keep this incident a secret, to act as though it never happened. He explained that the knowledge of this creature's existence would cause widespread panic, and that the public deserves to be protected from the horror that resides within our solar system. Several members of our team were driven to madness. They were committed to mental hospitals. Many even committed suicide. And I guess the knowledge that something like this exists is just too much to bear for some. Now, I'm surprised I've kept my sanity from all this time. But I believe that the public has the right to know this information. It's the only way we can prepare for the worst should it happen. I'm still not sure what the gargantuan is and how it got here. But my main theory is that Europa is a prison that was created for it. The silver tadpoles were something like its guards. It would make sense as to why they were following the probes around and tried to stop them from pulling at the fur. What I can say is this. Europa is still there. It hasn't cracked open or disappeared, so it's safe to say that the gargantuan is still inside of it. Hopefully the tadpoles manage to subdue it. Even so, everyone needs to be prepared for if this thing escapes its cage, because if this thing gets out, I have no idea what that will mean for us. Be prepared. Hey there kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I just wanted to say thank you for watching today's video. I want to try to wrap this video up quick, so I'm going to let you know about a couple of things real quick. First one is, I'm going on tour. If you want to check out more information about that, head over to creepypasta.shofetti.com. That's creepypasta.shofetti.com. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Mr. Creepypasta, and if you'd like to buy some nice warm tea for a dark and stormy story time, check out etsy.com/shop/ivory monocle tea. Sweet dreams, kids.